tricycles, I love the synagogues, I love the Lego, and I love the Lincoln Logs. I love the fishing lures, I love the plumber's snakes, I love the things that people make. Knives, I love the garden gnomes. I love the way that people decorate their homes. I love the ovens and the casseroles they make. I love the things that people make.
Hello, you are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and syndicated across the country through Radio for All and the National Campus Radio Association Program Exchange. My name is Sarah. I'm your host, and I'm very happy today to be airing an interview with Amy Lee of the 1202 Zine Distro. And we're going to start off this morning with Amy telling the history of that distro. It's 7 years old, which is remarkable. We sat in my kitchen last night in Toronto. She's currently based out of Toronto, and we talked about 1202. Tell me the history of 1202.
1202 started in probably closer to the end of 2004 when I was living in Edmonton, Alberta. I had recently moved there.
Why did you move there?
To get away from Toronto. It's the short version.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends outside of Edmonton were making really awesome zines, and I sort of had a really hard time finding zine or DIY culture in Edmonton when I first moved there. And also I didn't really have a lot of friends outside of my partner at the time, circle of friends. So I thought, oh, I think I would like to start a zine distro to bring all these awesome zines to, like, you know, people in, because, I mean, Edmonton's a pretty geographically, that's isolated city. So, I thought I would start a distro that doesn't do mail order, but just focuses on tabling at events. And so that, A, I was bringing and introducing zine culture and DIY culture to people in Edmonton, be like attempting to create community there and meet new people and just like kind of encourage people and you know help or maybe try and inspire them to make zines themselves.
The distro is like 7 years old.
7 years, but it's a pretty low-key distro, so I mean it hasn't, you know, and because I don't do mail order, it's kind of like a very slow going, you know. I rarely do any tabling throughout the winter months.
Why did you decide not to do mail order?
There were already a lot of distros doing mail order. And again, you know, being in Edmonton where it was like, it's not like Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver where like there are info shops or like radical bookstores or even just like independent bookstores. There was just, you know, a lack of accessibility to zines and zine culture, so I figured there, you know, and there are already lots of zine distros doing mail order, and also just because I wanted to keep the project within the parameters of, like, something that I could manage, like, both with time and energy and money, and, you know, it's kind of less pressure to do a tabling distro, and that way I can be less flaky about it.
That's pretty inspiring. That idea of just, like, figuring out what you can manage.
Yeah, I thought the project was really important, so I didn't want to, like, take on too much. I just really wanted to, like, just kind of, you know, do it the right way. Not that there is a right way, but I wanted to, yeah.
And then maybe it becomes more about human interaction, like,
definitely. And it was just, I mean, it helped me make friends when I didn't know anybody in a city that I, you know, had spent all of 20 days in before I had moved there. And it was great, because then, you know, and then it's like you're creating community and you're making connections with other people and, like, you know. And I think by the time I left Edmonton in 2007, there were at least two other zine distros in Alberta, because I would also table in Calgary a lot, because it was only 3 hours away. And so, yeah, there were, like, a couple of distros in Alberta. People were making zines. Like, by the time I left, I was actually, like, distroing zines that were made in Alberta.
That's really cool.
Which, yeah, and it, I mean, it's like, kind of made me feel really successful, you know, that I succeeded with the project. Yeah, and so now I'm back in Toronto, where, I mean, very, very privileged to be surrounded by tons of zine and DIY culture and events, and, like, and also just being in a city that's closer to other cities. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can go and table in Guelph and in Montreal, and, you know, I, you know, even go to the States to table at things, so...
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, and I am playing a song by The Slits from Revenge of the Killer Slits, their song Slits Tradition. And that was from SAF Records. And we're going to go back now to the interview with Amy Lee talking about the 1202 zine distro.
Are there some memorable zines that you started off carrying?
Yeah, Doris.
Awesome.
Always. Like, yeah. I feel like, yeah, the, in my opinion, best zine ever been written. There's also a zine that I really, two zines that I really loved that I used to distro when they were still being made. One was called Not Sorry, and it was written by a woman named Jenny, who now lives in Portland, but she's from San Diego originally. And she wrote a lot about being fat and body image and being queer and feminism. And she was just really honest and like totally kept it real and was very no bullshit. And another zine called No Snow Here, which was written by a woman named Nadia who was living in Detroit at the time. And she wrote a lot about race and feminism and art. She was also a printmaker. Those three zines are probably, like, the zines that kind of stand out or are always, you know, first to name.
And how do you decide what to distro?
I'm pretty picky about what I pick up. Again, because money is a limited resource for me. Like, the distro doesn't make any money ever. It's definitely in the red a couple hundred dollars to myself. So I generally carry zines that are... more personal zines that tend to be on the more political side of things, so a lot of like personal writing. I also carry like sort of how-to zines that are, you know, about like, you know, like recipe zines or how to fix your bicycle or like, you know, how to make stuff, and zines that are like informative, usually like on health topics and things like that. Most, you know, I would say that like almost all the zines I carry are written by people who identify as women and or queer and or trans and or like people of color. You know, I think that those are voices that really need to be heard. And I especially like to table, I especially when I was living in Edmonton, I would try and table at events that weren't necessarily like zany events. I would always try and table at these, like, you know, there was a lot of all-ages shows in Edmonton, and it was mostly like hardcore punk music. And just because of, you know, Alberta being the political climate that it is, I mean, it's a lot of, like, straight, white, upper-class dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved, like, I would always ask to table at those things, because, you know, to, like, get this literature out to them, to, like, you know, teach guys about consent and teach, you know, about, like, sexual health and about, you know, just, like, feminism 101, you know, things like that, just to, like, allow that in those spaces or force that into those spaces sometimes. Yeah, and also just to get the, like, those types of zines to, like, the handful or two of women who are at those shows, and just try and get them to, like, inspire them, get them to, like, document their stories and their experiences and things.
I wonder if you, it's cool. I'm glad that you brought up prioritizing, like, women's work or queer people's work or people of color. That's something that I do in my radio show. Not, like, pretty explicitly, but not in the title, because I feel like, well, it's just an interesting experiment to be like, let's see what happens if I make this priority and do this thing and potentially avoid the tokenism of being like the feminist, queer, radical radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And instead be like, I'm going to call this radio show These Things That People Make, and I'm just going to do this thing.
Yeah.
Partially because in radio, community radio, there's definitely, like, some tokenism that goes on all the time, where, like, you're like, oh, that's the Arab culture show, that's the disability show, that's that's really common. And I think that there's something to be said for, like, oh, this is a show that speaks to these specific things, let's discuss them. But I just wonder if you want to comment any more on, like, radical feminist perspectives and zines in Toronto in particular. At this current time or in the past?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was definitely a space, like a very noticeable space in Toronto in the probably late 90s, but most of the early 2000s of, you know, queer and queer women, trans-identified people, like, making zines. And like, yeah, because like, there used to be this little group called the League of Zine Girls.
Whoa, tell me about the League of Zine Girls!
Which is like, yeah. And it was like, I guess, yeah, because around the early 2000s, there were a handful of women zine makers in Toronto making personal zines. And I guess kind of in the suburbs too, because like there was Jessica who did Mohawk Pussy Zine, who lived in Oakville at the time, and like Una who did Mad Crow, and there was she/he's got laid, and Jay Steele was writing zines, and a woman named Maddie writing zines, like, and there was like a group, and Michelle, and I can't remember her partner's name, they live in Guelph now, but there was like a solid handful, and
Sarah, Michelle, and Sarah.
Yes, yeah, and like them writing zines, and you know, and like, so we kind of, and we would always end up being at the same zine events. And I was involved with Red Girl Toronto at the time, and we were doing zines, and yeah, so we would have these like these mixers where like once every couple of months we would sign out a space at the 519 and hang out and eat snacks and listen to music, and everybody work on a comp zine. And, like, we had a little listserv where, you know, we would post about projects we were working on or, like, call for submissions that we saw. And, yeah, and then, like, always be at Canzine and Cut and Paste when the Cut and Paste Zine Fair existed. And just sort of, like, represent. And it was really awesome.
What do you think would happen if you called for...
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and elsewhere on the internet at Radio for All and the NCRA, the National Campus Radio Association Program Exchange. Hello, we are airing an interview today with Amy Lee of the 1202 Distro. And before I get to this part of the interview, I want to say that off the air, I talked to Amy Lee about an exciting project that we're working on here, These Things That People Make, in collaboration with Earful of Queer and the Arrow Archive and the Guelph Resource Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity. We're organizing an event called Zine Dream Fever Queen. It's a 13-hour zine-making challenge, and it's going to be taking place from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. on March 25th. And we are working out the location, but there's going to be free photocopying and snacks. We're going to be screening the fabulous film Born in Flames. If you don't know about that movie, it's a movie about a women's army taking over the world post-apocalyptic through pirate radio. And if you want more information, you can email zinefever@gmail.com. So we're talking a bit about that event. And then I said this next thing. So pay attention. So we're talking about Zine Dream Fever Queen. And then I said,
things that I'm interested in doing, partially I'm interested in doing because I read Sarah Marcus's book.
Oh yeah, Girls to the Front.
Girls to the Front. And then she inspired me to just like make some things happen. But I've been confronted with this weird self-criticism around wanting to do something that is like so 1990s. But then I'm like, who cares?
I care.
Like, I'm like, who cares if it's so 1990s? Like, there were some really exciting things that happened in 1990s that, like, I want to see happen again.
Yeah.
Or, like, I want to use those models and do it again.
Yeah, or take inspiration from that and create something different. Or, you know, no, sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
Yeah,
but, I care. No, it's funny because I agree with you, and it's like I have those feelings all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like I have no interest in ever doing another Riot Girl chapter or anything. Like,
how come?
It was so problematic. I mean, it was problematic 10 years before we had a chapter here, like the original Riot Girl.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there are things that came from that, both the original Riot Girl era, and then when we were doing Radical Toronto, which was, like, literally 10 years later. I think that there are so many important things that were learned from that and that happened that we can take and move forward.
And what are those things?
Well, I think that the women need to work together more.
Mm.
And create more things together and, like, really, like, create our own communities and our own spaces. Which means that, like, I think a lot of women just, like, need to get to know each other better and, like, meet each other. And, like, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do that. Like, there are very few spaces for women to, like, get together and, like, get to know one another, never mind organize, you know, in, like, a non-party context. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to see, you know, collectives and, like, you know, or something like For the Birds in New York City.
What's that?
For the Birds is a collective that puts on shows, and they have a little zine distro, and they do outreach and, like, facilitate workshops. And, yeah, like, it's just, like, a really solid crew of women. And, like, you know, and they go to put on, like, shows that are supporting other women artists, and like they're really, you know, when bands come through New York, you know, they help them out with shows and things like that. And they put on an event every year called the Big Shebang. And it's like 2 days of workshops and panels and shows and discussions and skill shares and like community building. I'm hoping to go this year. I haven't been.
When is it?
It's usually in August. So I'm hoping to go this year.
I would like to go.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm turning 30. You could go for my 30th.
Yeah! Into that.
Yeah.
And like a couple of the women from that, or one of the women from that, and then this other woman in San Francisco, they have this project called the International Girl Underground, I think it's called. And they put out a compilation zine that's actually launching in a few weeks. And I really like, and then they're putting on a show for the launch in New York for the Birds is Co putting it on. And there's like going to be a bunch of like women bands playing and like people tabling, and I want to go.
Yeah.
But
when is that?
It's March 12th.
Oh, it's soon.
I know, it's soon. The Mega's Best tickets are like $50 each way. I know. But in Toronto, the same day is David Zinman's No Apathy All Ages Punk Matinee, oh, yeah. Which I will be tabling at. Just to bring exciting. This conversation full circle.
I wanted to know if you could... Well, I want to hear more about your take on, like, the past 7 years of zine culture in Toronto and Can Zine and Broken Pencil and blah.
Well, I mean, I've only been back in Toronto for 3 years. I don't have an incredibly positive experience with Can Zine or Broken Pencil. I find that they have definitely decided to go for quantity over quality when it comes to their vendors.
Yeah.
And Can Zine. I take huge issue with the lack of accessibility at their events. I think that the magazine has definitely moved away from representing zines. And sort of, you know, having their finger on the pulse when it comes to zine culture.
Mm-hmm.
I get the impression that, like, Broken Pencil's sort of idea is a lot different than mine when it comes to, like, why people write zines. From reading their magazine and, you know, seeing their website and, like, whatever, like, anything that I've ever read from them. I'm left with this impression that, like, well, people write zines and then they grow up and make it big and get published and write books.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I find that really offensive.
Yeah.
To be polite.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, like, I went to a panel discussion that they had at the reference library, and it was like, you know, the sort of thing, it was like, are zines dead? And I was just like, why are we even having this conversation? The fact that we're having, like, the fact that you're even asking that shows that you have no freaking clue what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, like, you know, anything I've ever read that they've sort of, like, put out, like, their views on zines, just like, well, you know, like, you should write so that you can become famous, or you should write so that you can become published and make money, and it's just like, but zines aren't about that. Like, zines are about expressing your ideas and your experiences, and zines are about connecting with other people and creating community, and zines are about, like, expressing your creativity and having fun and enjoying it, and it's not about making money. Like, I don't know a single zinester that has ever profited off of making zines, nor do I know a single zinester who's ever wanted to, like, or expected to profit mm-hmm. off of making zines.
Enough to start a war. All that I have is on the floor. God only knows what we're fighting for. All that I say, you always say more. I can't keep up with your turning.
I'm just
dining table. Goodbye. That was fun. I got to say goodbye because Adele is singing goodbye. That song was Adele from her album 21. And the song is Turning Tables. Adele is a babe. Okay, so we've been playing an interview with Amy Lee of the 1202 Distro. You can find her on Facebook and on Twitter. And it's spelled, the numbers are spelled out. So 1202, all one word, Distro. You can also send Amy Lee mail. P.O. Box 42, Station P, Toronto, Ontario, MS5252S6, Canada. And I wanted to let you know about upcoming shows that we're having, which I'm really excited about. So next Thursday, I'll be playing an interview with the editors of the Awkward Sex Zine. And then the following Thursday, with the creators of the How to Be a Manarchist Zine, which has saved many lives. And the following week, it's an interview with the lovely Sarah Evans of the Robert Street Social Center talking about her phenomenon of pet calendars. So make sure that you check out those shows and check out my blog, thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. The lovely Locavore with the lovely Walter Garrison is up next. Keep it locked to CFRU.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3. Rock on.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.